This is Fresh Air. Whether or not you own a computer yourself, I think you'll be interested in hearing about a new development in computer technology that has the potential to change everything from cancer research to how we fight wars and how we entertain ourselves. It's called virtual reality, and it's a computer-generated, three-dimensional reality that could be as convincing as a hallucination. My guest, Howard Rheingold, is the author of the new book, Virtual Reality. He's also the editor of the Whole Earth Review. The technology of virtual reality is still in the experimental stages. Since I haven't experienced virtual reality, and I figure you probably haven't either, I'll let Rheingold explain what it is.
I like to talk about the experience of virtual reality before I talk about the technology, because I think everyone is familiar with the kind of experience that, well, you go to a movie theater, for example, to get. It's the experience of temporarily immersing yourself in an artificial world, in a fantasy world. I think if you go back to the original cave paintings that were done 40,000 years ago, or the paintings of the Renaissance, or photographs, motion pictures, even 3D motion pictures, there has been a continuing attempt by people to create a kind of fantasy world that people could really sense that they're inside that world. So virtual reality uses modern technologies, computer technology, a special kind of goggles that have little television sets in them, and a kind of wired glove to give you the feeling that you are inside an artificial world, a fantasy world.
So the goggles give you the 3D image. What does the wire glove do?
Well, when you're inside this world, you can look around and you can see what's above you. You can see what's below you. If there's a door in front of you, you can walk through that door and see what's in the next room. But besides being able to move around in it, if you have this glove on, the glove is connected to a computer, and you see a hand floating in space in that artificial world. And when you wiggle your fingers in the real world, you will see the fingers of that glove wiggle in the artificial world. And if there's a coffee cup in front of you in the artificial world, in the virtual world, and you reach your hands out, you will see that depiction of a hand reaching out. You could pick up that cup and look and see what's underneath it. Not only are you inside an artificial world that you can move around in, but because of this glove, you can actually manipulate it with your hands and see that manipulation.
Tell us about one of the most convincing experiences you had with virtual reality.
One of them that was the most interesting was very concrete, because I was inside a building that was designed in virtual reality. So there was you can create a computer model of a building that architects can use to make blueprints. They took a computer model of a building, these computer scientists at the University of North Carolina, and created a virtual model of it. Now, I was able to put on this head-mounted display with the little eye set that showed me a 3D world and stand on a treadmill. And I could walk down the hallways of this building, and it looked as if I was walking down the hallways of a real building. And I could turn a corner and see what was down that corner. I could go into a room and see what was in that room. The interesting thing about that experience was that the computer science building at the University of North Carolina is the building depicted in that model. And before they built that building, the computer science students there created this virtual model and walked through it to see how they would like it, and in fact decided that one of the walls was too close in and gave a cramped feeling, and they moved that wall. So that was one of the most interesting things, was to be inside this building as it was, after it was actually built, experiencing the model of the building.
What are some of the applications of this kind of amazing new 3D computer-generated process for science and medicine?
Okay, science really, I think, advances when somebody comes up with a way to extend human senses. I think a good comparison to how virtual reality can help scientists is the microscope and the telescope. The microscope extended biologists' senses into the world that was previously invisible because it was so tiny. If you think about it, modern medicine, antibiotics, were not possible before the microscope, because nobody could tell the germs caused disease. virtual reality can enable scientists to see into worlds that were previously very difficult to see into because they were either too complex, and of course computers are very good at modeling complex things, or because they were three-dimensional structures, and a kind of two-dimensional look through a microscope or a telescope or an X-ray machine is not quite enough. I watched some chemists using head-mounted displays and a forced feedback, which gives them a way of actually feeling the virtual world, design a new anti-cancer molecule. The way anti-cancer medicines work have to do with the way molecules fit together. And they were trying to fit together a synthetic molecule with a molecule found on a tumor cell. And they did it by reaching out and grabbing models of the molecules and trying to fit them together like Tinker Toys or pieces of a 3D puzzle. And because what they were holding, kind of like a gripper, translated the molecular forces into physical forces, they could actually feel places where the molecules would fit together like a lock and key and therefore be an effective medicine. And this has proved to be a very useful design tool for pharmaceutical chemists.
Let's talk some more about the applications of virtual reality after we take a short break. My guest is Howard Rheingold, author of the new book, Virtual Reality. This is Fresh Air. Howard Rheingold is my guest. He's the editor of the Whole Earth Review and the author of the new book, Virtual Reality. Now, the military is often at the forefront of developing and using new technologies. Is the military using virtual reality?
Absolutely. The war in Iraq, there was a lot of virtual reality involved in the training for that war. I myself saw a tank simulator network when I was researching this book. Tank crews get inside little rooms that look exactly like the inside of a tank, and they are all plugged into a simulation of a battlefield. Now, although this is not in three dimensions, it's the kind of computer modeling that's involved in virtual reality. And in fact, these head-mounted displays, where you put the little television screens on your head, were developed for about 20 years by the Air Force for jet pilots to have effective displays where they could see radar and they could see through cloud cover. So the military has been using these to train people in combat situations for a long time. The other aspect of military research, I think, is the more frightening one, and one that I think the public ought to have a bit more discussion about, and that's what they call semi-autonomous weapons. When I was at the Naval Ocean Systems Center in Hawaii, which is a U.S. Marine Corps research facility, I saw a Humvee, a vehicle that instead of having a driver, it had a robot driver, and it had a big spool of fiber optic cable that linked that robot to an operator with a head-mounted display who would be in a bunker a quarter mile away. And in the passenger seat was a 50-caliber machine gun. So you can imagine that people will be able to operate, they are today, able to operate deadly weapons that will roam around miles away and see through the robot's eyes and pull the trigger with their finger safely inside a bunker.
It's pretty remarkable.
It's pretty remarkable, and I think that you can make an argument that there's some real advantages to putting machines on battlefields instead of people. But I also think that there is one scary aspect of this, which is the person who is inside a bunker performing a simulation does not really know when they pull that trigger whether they are playing a video game or blowing up real people. And I think that that's the danger of semi-autonomous weapons. In fact, NATO held a conference on this possibility that in the wrong hands, people might, for example, take some trainees and tell them that they are in an exercise, but in fact switch the virtual weapons to real weapons, and while they think they're having real fun in a video game, they're blowing up real people 1,000 miles away.
What are some of your other concerns about the applications of virtual reality?
Well, one concern is we already live in a society in which the television set is on 6 or 7 hours a day. When your television set's on, at least you can see other people and you can see the real world. if you're in virtual reality, you can't see the real world. The danger of it being as addictive as television, I think, is a real concern when it does become an effective entertainment medium. And I'm concerned that this is coming at a time in which the natural world is being destroyed. So at the same time that we are reaching a point where our forests and our rivers are being replaced by artificial phenomena, people are given an opportunity to escape into a totally artificial world. I could foresee a worst-case future where billions of people become so fascinated by virtual worlds that by the time they take their head-mounted displays off, the whole world is paved over. Although I think that this is a very useful technology and I would love to see it developed for science and medicine, I do think we need to do what we didn't do when the television first came along, which is to try to establish some values about it. Do we really think it's going to be valuable for people to spend all day in a virtual reality?
Do you think a lot of us will have our first exposure to virtual reality through entertainment?
Yes. I think a low-level virtual reality is already available. There's the BattleTech Center in Chicago. People get in these little booths that have screens around them and pretend they are in a space war, and they spend good money at this. I think it's something like $7 an hour. Arcade games are probably going to be the first place most people have contact with this.
In science fiction, there is already a tradition of a computer-generated reality, a reality that doesn't exist in real life. It was just kind of created in the computer, and people kind of enter into this totally created 3D reality, and that reality is shared by people who have this computer program around the country or around the world. Is anything like that actually happening in real life, or is that just in science fiction?
There are people who have very serious plans to do this. When I was in Japan, I visited a research center that's spending about $10 million a year to create a way to use virtual reality as a communication medium. So you might imagine a future in which millions of people inside their homes are actually in their apartments, but seem to be walking down the street of a totally artificial city, interacting with one another, talking to one another, conducting business. So it may be that part of the future of the human race is going to take place in virtual reality, just as part of our communications now take place in the kind of virtual reality that exists when you're on the telephone.
What application are you most looking forward to that you'll be able to use and that will make your life more interesting?
I like that idea of it being a communication medium. Because face it, humans evolved for millions of years being able to communicate face-to-face. And electronic communications enable us to conquer the barriers of space and time. But when you talk on the telephone, you can't see someone's body language. You can't see the way they're moving their hands and their eyes. I think it would be great if we could have a kind of virtual meeting space where people could relate to one another. And of course, the fun thing about that is you don't have to look like the way you look. You could look like a movie star, or you could look like a lobster. You could create a representation of yourself, and others could create representations of themselves that would move along with them, but would look the way they wanted it to look.
Even better than plastic surgery for those who want it.
That's right. And then what's going to become important? Appearance is so important now.
Yeah.
If you can project whatever kind of appearance you want, what will become important might be the way you interact with people rather than the way you look. And that might be advantageous.
Howard Rheingold, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thanks for having me here.
And Howard Rheingold is the author of the book Virtual Reality, and he's also the editor of the Whole Earth Review. This is Fresh Air.